Welcome, everybody, to another great podcast from the Crystal River Church of God. Whether you're on your way to work, on your lunch break, or even taking a jog, our prayer for you is that this helps you to find focus for living. We truly hope you enjoy this message live from CRCOG.
Psalms 46. Now, if you get there, say amen. It shouldn't take you too long. The Bible says in chapter 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If you haven't got that underlined in your Bible, underline it. A very present help in trouble. Not a help that's not present, but a very present help in trouble. Therefore, because of this, we will not fear. Listen to me. We will not fear. We're going to be concerned, but we're not going to fear. We're going to acknowledge the problem, but we're going to look to the promise. We're going to acknowledge what's going on, but recognize that the God of this universe is still on the throne. He has not relinquished His hold upon this earth, upon your life, upon our family, and upon His church. I believe that this is possibly one of the greatest times on the earth to be alive, because people are looking for hope, and I just so happen to be a hope dealer. I just so happen to know where the hope is. I hope when there is no hope. That's what Romans 4 tells us, that we hope when there isn't any hope, because we know who our hope is. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling. Pride, Selah. Selah means think about it. Pause. Take a moment. But there is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High God. I want to stay right there for a minute. There is a river. There is a river. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High God. See, in the first two verses, or three verses, it's telling you all of this is happening, but then it said, think about it. And then it says, there is a river. I have preached this passage so many times at funerals. Because when they're going through a loss of a loved one, I want them to know that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Those of you who are going through the fear and almost in the grave of doubt and confusion, I've come by tonight to tell you that there is a stream that make glad the city of God. It is the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God, verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She will not, say, I will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. Have you ever been in trouble? Man, our world, our country is in trouble. See, I'm not telling you to stick your head in the sand and think that it's not trouble. It is trouble. That's why you got to acknowledge it. But if God was not going to make you an overcomer, He said we are made more than overcomers. He never said that you wouldn't have to overcome some things. If you're an overcomer, that means that there is something to overcome. And if you're going to be a believer, that means that there's something that you've got to believe. And that you've got to believe that God is in the midst of where you're at right now. That God is in the midst of where you are. God is in the midst of what's going on in this country. Well, Pastor, what is God doing? He is stirring in the hearts of people, and we are becoming the church, and the church is getting outside the four walls of this building, and we're being hope dealers and dealers and carriers of hope. Have you ever been in trouble? And have you ever been troubled? Well, of course, that's in this day and time. It's both, exactly. But can I tell you this? Trouble means to agitate mentally or spiritually. Trouble. Agitate means to agitate mentally or spiritually. You see, this is not just a spiritual level. This is a spiritual level and a mental level. And you know what? For me, one of my biggest agitations is the not knowing. The biggest agitation is not knowing when this will end. If we knew exactly when it was in, then we could go ahead and hunker down until we knew it was going to end. But some people say it's going to last long. Other folks say it's not going to last that long. I declare that it's going to leave as fast as it came. I declare in the name of Jesus. Every soul knows at least a little bit about trouble. And when the mind can find no rest, I'm going to tell you, last Saturday night, I couldn't find rest. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't find any rest the next day, because then they moved it from 2:50 to 50. And then I got other pastors calling me, and I got other people depending on me and asking me what to do. And you know, a leader's supposed to know what's next. Sometimes I don't know what's next. And so you have to feel your way through that. And so I know what it is to find no rest when circumstances and situations attack the heart, and when it seems as if faith itself is under attack. Well, Pastor, I don't know anybody who has it, but there's somebody who has it. And we're believing for them. We're believing for them. Did you hear that? I'm believing for them before ever anybody I know. I'm declaring nobody I know is going to get it. But I'm believing for the ones who have it. I'm believing for those who have been laid off. I'm believing for those who have a business and don't know how they're going to make their business work. I'm believing God that somehow, some way, He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Every day seems like it holds a different potential of trouble. Am I talking to anybody? Well, Matthew 6:34 says this. Matthew 6:34, the last verse of that says, each day has enough trouble on its own. My God. Pastor, that was my life before the COVID-19. Every day has its own issues. But life, it has been said, is so vicious that no one survives life unscathed. There's some truth there. Because the trouble with trouble is that it troubles you. The trouble with trouble is that it troubles you. It makes you feel isolated. Makes you feel alone. If you're in some circles, it makes you feel like you don't have enough faith. Or you're not good enough Christian. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You need to recognize what the devil's trying to do in your life and combat it, not with just good thoughts, but that's great. But you combat it with the Word of God. When you begin to speak the Word of God of what it's saying on your life, can you say amen? Now, Psalms 10:1 in the New American Standard Bible says, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Sound like anybody you know? Where is God in all this? He's right there. He's as close as the mention of His name. His name is Jesus. Here's what He said. Why do you stand afar off? This is the psalmist David. Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Come on, let's just go ahead and get real. Why do you hide yourself, God, when it seems like you're in time of trouble? The New Living Translation asked this question. Why do you hide when I'm in trouble? Now that's really the better question. Why do you hide when it seems like I'm in trouble? God, I see you helping this one and I see you helping that one. But why don't you help me? Where are you? Why do you hide? Well, I want to reveal to you today a path that leads out of trouble. I want to give you that. Pay attention, because you're going to need to know this path. Trouble will come. If it hadn't come to your house, It will come. You know, I heard what one guy said, that a recession is when your neighbor gets laid off. A depression is when you get laid off. Isn't that the truth? You're concerned when other folks get laid off, but when you get laid off, then that's another, you go into depression. It will take different forms and come from different directions, but you need to know how to handle trouble. Because some people ain't ever saw trouble. And some people think that the trouble that they're in is trouble when what you're in is nothing. A trouble is not a hangnail. I'll go one step further. Real trouble isn't that you're out of TP. I know that's trouble, but it ain't real trouble. Now, I already said that trouble means agitated spiritually or mentally. But it can also be defined as to put into confused motion or confusion. Trouble. To put in a confused motion or confusion. That's some trouble right there. All right? Psalm 6:6. I hope you're taking notes. Psalm 6:6 says, I am very weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. Means that they cry so much and sweat so much that they're making their bed wet. I dissolve my couch with my tears. That, man, they're crying, a bunch of tears. They don't know which way to go. And that's a lot of folks in America today. This is a man who knew trouble, and he knew that he had been through some stuff. However, people that ain't ever went through nothing can't know nothing. If you ain't ever been through nothing, you don't know nothing. But because of some of you and all of us, if you ain't been through nothing, just hang on. You're going to go through something. I'm not prophesying. I just know how life works. Because you don't know that you have faith until your faith is tested. You don't know that you can trust your faith if your faith hasn't been tested. Abraham went through some stuff. Joseph went through some stuff. I don't have to break that down for you, I hope. Moses went through some stuff. David, who is writing this text, went through some stuff. Jesus went through some stuff. Paul went through some stuff. You and me have been through some stuff. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Here's what it says. I'm talking about the faith chapter. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, man. And here's what it says. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, all by faith, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, hallelujah, quench the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, putting foreign armies to flight. Give me my next one. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Ah, come on now. And others experienced mockings, scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. These folks went through something. They were stoned. You ever been stoned? Not that way. I know some of y'all have been stoned. But I'm not talking about that way. I'm talking about rock your world. Come on, somebody. They were sawn in two. They were sawed in two, man. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. What? Wait a minute. they were promised of and didn't receive what they were promised, not here on this life. That's why your foundation's got to be true. That's why you need to know the Word of God. That's why you need to know what you believe and believe what you know. So it seems if you're going to live a life of faith, you're going to go through some stuff. So if you're going to need to know how to deal with the stuff. Point number one is this. Realize that trouble makes you feel alone and isolated. But don't believe it. Don't believe it. See, what the devil wants to know, what wants you to believe, is that you're the only one going through it. And if you're going through it with others, yours is worse than anybody else's. Has the devil ever used that on you? Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. See, resist the urge to shut down. Because that's what happens. We just want to shut down. We just want to sit down and wallow in our pity and wallow in what we're going through. That is not God's plan for you. God's plan is to look through the eye of faith and say, today might be bad, but I'm looking for tomorrow to be better. And if tomorrow is bad, you say, I'm looking for the next day to be better. And if that day is bad, I'm looking for the next day to be better. And you just get fully convinced in your life, according to Romans 4, you get fully convinced in your life, and no matter what comes down the pike, God, I still believe that you are King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Instead of shutting down, talk about it. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. Talk about it instead of shutting down. I'm not talking about talking down or talking bad, but begin to talk faith. Talk, talk, talk. The enemy is counting on you to shut down. See, oh, Rabashata. The enemy expects the church to be silent. But we ain't going to be silent. We're going to speak against this thing in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible said one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And so we bind that virus in the name of Jesus here on the earth. We bind it in other countries. We bind it on this world. And we loose the power of healing. We loose the power of cleansing on this earth by the power of Jesus Christ. We're not going to be silent. If we got to go just online, we are not going to be silent because we have hope. I want you to know that there is hope for your life, that there is hope for your family, there is hope for your business, there is hope, there is hope, there is hope. His name is Jesus. Glory to God. Resist the urge to shut down. Here's what 1 John 4:18 says. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear involves torment. The devil wants to torment you in fear. He wants to isolate you. Fear has torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If the enemy, if the devil can get you alone with your thoughts of doubt and fear, torment will creep in. It will saturate your life and the thoughts of the what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if? Well, why don't you turn it? Why don't you flip the script on the devil? And what if tomorrow I wake up and this thing is gone? What if I wake up tomorrow and they found a cure? What if I wake up tomorrow? What if I declare in the name of Jesus? See, you operate in faith, not fear, wisdom, and not carelessness. Now, see, I trust God, but I wear my seatbelt. Come on now. I trust God, but my wife makes me wear a helmet when I ride my motorcycle. I trust God, but I make sure there's enough life jackets on my boat when I go take it out. I trust God, but I use oven mitts when I'm taking something out of the oven that's really hot. I trust God, but I lock my house at night. I trust God, but I have smoke detectors in my house. I trust God, but if I need prescribed medicine, I'm going to take it. I trust God. I will follow the best guidelines to share the task of flattening this curve. Acting with caution and wisdom does not indicate that you don't trust God. Quit judging your neighbor. Quit judging your pastor. Quit judging other pastors, whatever they choose to do. Because we've never led through a pandemic before. But let me tell you this. This ain't God's first rodeo. This ain't God's first problem. This ain't God's first pandemic. He knows how to navigate us through this. And the Bible says, and the church shall survive. And the gates of hell itself shall not prevail against the church. My God, you ought to be shouting at home right now. Hey! Point number two is this. Point number two is talk to God and talk to yourself. Now some of you talk to yourself already. Talk to God and talk to yourself. Can I tell you that 50 times, one commentator that I was reading today said 50 times the word help is mentioned just in the book of Psalms. Help! Well, the Lord knows what I need before I pray. He said the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So instead of just going, hey, if you got some time, here I am. No, I'm going to go, help! But I don't plan on being Pentecostal. That ain't Pentecostal. That's somebody in trouble saying, glory to God. Psalms 5 and 2. Says, heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. Psalms 18:6. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help became before him, came into his ears. Psalms 28:2. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry for your help, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Talk to yourself. Psalms 42:11 says, why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed with me or within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. The help of my countenance and my God. I will yet praise him. The psalmist had to learn something. The psalmist had to learn that just because it seemed, and I know some of you don't think this way, but I know, but there's some that I'm sure by home do. But there, when you think that God is a million miles away, if he's a million miles off, did not mean that we can't call out to him and he hears us. And he said if we will call on him, he would hear us, he would answer us, and show himself mighty in our life. Every time he got into trouble, every time David got into trouble, he cried out, help! He did it time and time again. Can I tell you that when people attacked him, he cried out for help. When he made bonehead decisions and caused trouble of his own life, he called out for help. So I don't care whatever you're in trouble you're in, no matter what condition you're in, whether it's because of something you've done or because of this corona or because of the government, whatever, cry out to help. And God said, I will hear you and I will answer you. Every time he got into trouble, listen to me, church. He had also to learn to speak to himself, to remind himself that as long as there is God, there is hope. As long as there is God, there is hope. Now listen, nothing's too hard for God. Praise God. Let me tell you this, God will use you more in a time of crisis than in calm. Because people are looking for hope dealers. God is looking for some carriers. People are looking for some hope. And you need to give them a reason to hope. While none of us would have wished this difficult time on anybody, there's an opportunity for us. There's an opportunity as God's people to model to the world our faith is not just a sunny day faith. It's easy to serve God when you got money in your bank and everything's going right. But what will you do? I mean, I'm telling you right now, we got some, you know, my daughter gets married in 3 weeks. So we got some things pressing on us. Well, what are you going to do, Pastor? I'm going to say, God is good and it's greatly to be praised. That's what I'm going to say. Pastor, what is it that didn't come out the way you want to? It's already hadn't come out the way I want to. But however, he is great and greatly to be praised. And I'm going to look on the things that I can praise God about, praise God for. I'm going to look to the hills from which cometh my help, because he's a very present help in the time of my trouble. Hallelujah. Now listen, throughout the ages, it has been during times of crisis that Christianity and God's people have had the most impact. I'm believing it now. When everybody's scurrying. You know, I got online today just to give an encouraging word and an encouraging song. Because I want everybody to know, just you need to calm down. You got to calm down. You got to put your trust in him. You got to understand that he is the peacemaker. That he is speaking peace in your life when there's turmoil. He's the peace speaker and he wants you to have peace. Now let me challenge you to model with your life and your lips the truth about your faith. Let me tell you this. Let me give you this one. How can I do that, Pastor? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So being a person of generosity while everybody else is hoarding. I'm not talking about being foolish. I'm not talking about giving your last roll of toilet paper away. But you understand what I'm saying? Be generous. How with that? How about this? Being consistent in faith while others are fearing. And being in faith doesn't mean that you don't acknowledge the problem. You just focus on the promise. Yes, that is happening, but God is bigger than that. Here's what he said in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I've told this story before, but when my youngest daughter, Lauren, who did that song, Going Beyond the Surface, when my daughter Lauren, the first time she went on a roller coaster, she was like, I don't know, 11 or 12 years old, and she was afraid of heights, and she decided to go on this roller coaster with me, and when the thing hit, clicked, and it started taking us up, she looked at me. She didn't say, I'm not afraid. She looked at me, and she says, for the Lord hath not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I said, you quote it, baby. You quote it. When fear begins to well up inside of you, you begin to quote the word of God. For the Lord hath not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Well, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. I don't know what next week's holds, but the Lord hath not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And I will stay in peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Glory to God. Or how about this one? Showing great love and concern for your friends and your neighbors. Inviting them to either watch online. People are looking for hope. You can't bring them to church right now. Pray with them. You won't need your pastor to pray. Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Yes, you do. You know how to open up your mouth and talk, then you know how to pray. You know how to pray. Well, but it's going to sound stupid. Sometimes I say stupid things, like one people. You heard me earlier. We all say stupid things. But just be the church. 1 Peter 2:12 says this, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Pastor, really? Yeah. It's there. The New Living Translation. Then, even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. And they will give honor to God when he judges the world. Point number three, change your focus. Change your focus. I'm going to tell you, some of you need to cut the television off. Some of you need to cut the news off. I mean, I'm not talking about not being informed. But, I mean, come on. They make money on keeping you glued to the negative news or the negative commentary about everything that's going on. Well, that's right, Pastor. That's why I watch Fox News. I don't care what news you watch. It's all a bunch of garbage most of the time. Be informed, but quit filling your mind with that junk. Well, then, what? Find a good podcast. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Find some good preaching. Find some good worship. I'm not saying not watch the news. Me and my wife, when I went home at 5 o'clock, I said I want to see the 5 o'clock news. But I'm not going to sit there all night watching this and getting myself depressed and trying to steal the faith that God has put in me. Change your focus. Psalms 121, verse 1 says this, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Did you hear that? My help comes from the Lord, not Fox, not CNN, not CNBC, not ABC, CBS. I'm going to make some of you mad. My help don't come from Trump. My help don't come from the government. My help don't come from this. My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Who's going to keep me from losing my mind? Ain't nobody up there. They don't even know my name. But there's one who knows my name. And when I call on him, he knows my name. And he knows what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with. And he can bring peace to my mind. Quit focusing on the thing that agitates you and focus on something else. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. One commentator said that this referred to Mount Moriah, where the ark of God was, the presence of God, the word of God. He looked to where the word of God was. He looked to where the presence of God was instead of where he was. Instead of looking where you are, look at where the presence of God is. Well, that's why I'm here, Pastor. Yes, the presence of God, I believe, is here. I've already felt him here tonight. But he's not just here. He's in your home, especially if you make it a place of home. Man, you ought to worship God in your house. You can't be in the house of God. Make your house a house of worship and worship him and praise him like you in church. I wish somebody would take a towel and throw it at the TV or something. Say, I'm preaching good. When David looked at the valleys, now listen to this. Here's what this commentator said. When David looked at the valleys while he was hiding, the valley was filled with the campfires of Saul's army chasing him. So when he looked in the valleys, he saw the calamity. When he looked in the valley, he saw what was trying to catch him. When he looked in the valley, he saw coronavirus. But when he looked up into the hills, he saw his help. He saw the presence of God. He saw that which would bring him peace. Looking at the valley did not build his faith. Looking at the valley didn't build his faith, so he changed his focus and he looked to the holy hill. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. I have. When things are happening in my life and things are not going the way I think they ought to go, and the devil's on me and I want to sing the old song, I'm going to go to the garden and eat some worms. Come on, somebody. And I just want to get down on myself. But I know what it is to change my focus and begin to focus on God. I know what it is to be going down through the valley and being depressed almost, but then begin to, just a little whimper. Maybe a little whimper of praise comes out. And when the little whimper of praise comes out, God begins to come to where I am and begins to move on my life. Can you say amen? That came out of torment that they were, these couple of notes were just kept tormenting me. Give me just five more minutes and I'll be done. It kept just tormenting me. But out of that torment came worship. And when I changed my focus, things began to change around me. Listen, church. So he changed his focus. He looked to the holy hills. And then listen to what he said. God is my refuge, my strength, a very present help in trouble. Now in Psalms 10, the psalmist was asking, God, where are you? Why would you hide yourself from me in my trouble? But now the psalmist is saying something different. He grew some between Psalms 10 and Psalms 46 and Psalms 121. Now he's saying that when you are in trouble, In Psalms 10, he said, when it seems like you're in trouble, that God is hiding himself. It seems like if you're all alone and left to fight for yourself. But trust me, now I know. Now I know. I've been through some stuff, and I've learned that if you will talk to God, and if you'll talk to yourself, and if you will change your focus, you're going to come out of it. Hallelujah. I love this. Come on back, Arthur. He said this. He said, you're a very, not just a present help, very present. Now, that's significant. It's one thing for somebody to be your help, but there's another thing for somebody to be your very present help. The word very there means vehemently, means intensive. Present is in attendance, at hand, here. So when God says, you are my very present help in the time of trouble, it means that you are vehemently, intense, at my hand, in attendance, where I am. I imagine old Joseph when they threw him into the pit. Everybody can hear you right now when you do that. Yeah. And when he's in the pit, I think the pit stands for preacher in training. When Joseph was in the pit, he had to learn that God was right there with him. When he was in the prison, God was right there with him. And where we are today, church, where you are tonight, church, where you are tonight, he is there with you. He is a very present help. He is vehemently intense in attendance where you are. So tonight, let's not be ashamed and let's not cower down. Let's not be careless. But let us, by faith, declare the word and the work of God. That, Lord, you are my present help. Whatever that is in your life. If you needed to be a present help in your finances, then call on him. Lord, be a present help. I'm going to quit looking at what I don't have and start looking at what I do have. If he needed to be a present help in your health, stop looking at how sick you've been. Start thanking him for a good day. Start thanking him for the good times of your life. If you're in a rocky relationship, begin to change your focus. Begin to declare that today is my day. Tomorrow is my tomorrow. Tomorrow is my day. I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to give my first part to God, and he's going to order my footsteps. And he's going to order my day, for the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The footsteps of a righteous person is ordered by the Lord. He's going to order my steps. Pastor, I don't know what to do about my business. Let's say, Lord, order my footsteps. Order my footsteps. You know, God still wants to speak to us. God still wants to speak to us. Man, I don't know if you've enjoyed tonight, but I sure have. I have preached myself wet. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet in this place tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I thank you that you are a very present help in the time of trouble. And Lord, we speak to the promise and not to the problem. We speak to the problem about the promise. Thank you, God, for your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for family being around us. Thank you, Lord, for your provision. Thank you. My God, I feel like I just want to lay hands on people at home right now. But I speak a peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, I pray right now, in all of our campus locations, all over the country, even up in Canada, I know you're watching. Lord, I pray peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, a peace. Not panic, but peace. Jesus said, this peace I leave with you. Not the peace that the world gives, but my peace. Lord, your peace in the name of Jesus. I pray over those that are here tonight. Peace that surpasses understanding.
Thank you again for listening to this message. We pray that it has inspired you like never before. For more information about Crystal River Church of God, how to give, or even our upcoming events, be sure to check us out at crystalrivercog.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, and we will see you next week here at CRCOG.